got so many attacking flair players. You want to see end to end, almost a bit like the Gaelic you watch. It's not really like that, you know.
You've got to score because you know that they're going to.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
Now, you're very welcome back. So after 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Ron Nogara, but we're turning to hurling in the meantime. The Championship ramps up a few gears this weekend, it's fair to say. Provincial semi-finals across Saturday and Sunday. So on Saturday at Croke Park, we have a doubleheader, 2 o'clock, Dublin against Galway, then 4:30, Kilkenny against Wexford. On Saturday evening, if that's not enough hurling for you, Limerick against Cork, Semple Stadium, 7 o'clock in the Munster Hurling Championship semi-final. And then on Sunday, 3:45 throw-in between Clare, who beat Waterford obviously at the weekend just gone, and Tipperary. That's at the Gaelic grounds. And thankfully, more spectators involved this weekend as well. 8,000 at Croke Park this Saturday. Limerick Cork is a test event as well. 2,400 will be at Semple Stadium, and then 500 at Tip versus Clare. Very happy to say. To preview the games, we have four-time All-Ireland winner at Wexford, Ursula Jacob, with us, and TJ Ryan, former Limerick player and manager. Ursula, great to have you on. We might start with Cork against Limerick. Limerick looking for their third in a row. I think we're pretty familiar with just how good they are at the moment. On Cork, a couple of interesting things. So John Kiley said Cork would be very sharp, very mobile, and talked about goals as well. And the thing about Cork, which jumps off the page from their league campaign, 18 goals in 5 matches. That's 6 more than any other side in Division 1. So they have goals in them, to say the least. Will they carry that on into Championship, do you think?
Well, I think they'll be looking to, because I think to beat Limerick on Saturday evening, they will need at least a couple of goals. One thing we've probably never questioned about Cork is their pace and their skill and their attacking prowess. I suppose probably it's their consistency at times and maybe their defence that has let them down. But in the league, I was really impressed with even some of the newer guys. Like, look at Jack O'Connor against Limerick in the league. He got 2 great goals. Alan Connolly came on against Waterford in the first round, got a couple of goals. So definitely it's one thing that Kingston has wanted to build on in this league, was maybe a stronger panel, because going into the Championship in the last couple of years, we've probably been able to, you know, predict what the Cork's team was going to be, what their setup was going to be. You'll always have the Horgans, the Kingstons, the Harnedys in attack. But to me, they probably needed a couple of additions to that. And the likes of Jack O'Connor, I've been impressed with him, because there's nearly a kind of fearlessness. He's a young guy. He's kind of trying to stamp his mark in the attack. And we saw it against Limerick in the league. You know, he kind of, he went at the Limerick defence, and that's what Cork are going to have to do on Saturday evening. But definitely, without a doubt, they're going to have to get a couple of goals against Limerick to get one over.
Yeah. TJ, great to have you on. What did you make of their meeting in the league? Limerick won that 33 points to 219.
I don't think it'll be a game we'll be referring much to, I think, after the Championship. I don't think we'll have much of a bearing. I do agree with Ursula. I think even in that league performance, as poor as it was, they did create probably 5 or 6 half-decent goal chances. And I do think, as a team, they need to get goals. I suppose the big factor going into the game for Cork would be the puck out. They really, really, really struggled in that league game. They just didn't have the facility to go long on the night. I know they were short some key personnel. The short ones, Limerick seemed to just gobble them up, and there was a very high press from Limerick on the night. So for me, this is a facet of the game that Cork will need to have a fair degree of success in order to get themselves really into the game.
Ursula, in the league match TJ mentions there, when Cork's puck out was struggling and going awry, the striking thing was they just stuck with it. You know, there was no abandonment of the plan, and it cost them a few times. I just wonder, in Championship, if it's not going your way, do you need to mix it up or do you persevere? It was very hard to know, were they just sticking to it because it was a league game and let's see if we can find a way out here, or maybe there was some ulterior motive. But I just wonder, in a Championship match, can you afford to stick with a short puck out routine like that if it's not working?
Well, you probably have to adjust and adapt to it, because, to be honest, if it's not working on Saturday evening, You know, you don't get a second chance to beat a team like Limerick. So, you know, they're definitely going to learn from that game, you know, but I would agree with TJ that they're not going to be, like, we're not going to be all talking about that league game in a couple of months' time. Mm. It's going to be Saturday evening that matters. You know, one of Cork's strengths is they're a highly skilled team. They like the short passing game. They like running off the shoulder. As I just mentioned, they have huge pace, but you know, Limerick is a team who can break that down very, very easily. And to be honest, Cork can't afford to not be winning their own possession on the puck outs. It's going to be so, so crucial. But another area for me that's going to be vital on Saturday is if Keane Lynch sits on the, you know, the half-forward line. We saw the damage he did in that league game. I know I'm referring back to the league, but Mark Coleman, who's had a strong presence in the half-back line, is he going to stick and go with Keane Lynch, or is he going to hold back? So that's something that's going to be crucial for Cork if they're looking to get one up on Limerick on Saturday. And it's, you know, Keane Lynch dictated everything from centre forward in the league game, and I have a feeling they'll probably start him there again on Saturday.
Mm. And what's your read generally on Limerick, Ursula, and where they are?
Well, look, they would have been very disappointed at probably the start of the league. You know, last year they were unbeaten in league and championship. And, you know, John Kiely has established this team into a bunch of winners that they don't like losing a challenge game, a Munster League or whatever. Mm. So they would have been disappointed. But I don't think they were going to get too carried away that, you know, they had lost their winning mentality or anything like that. You know, it was kind of, we probably would have felt that they were the strongest team going into the league. But they were trying out guys too, and they probably never went out and played their actual full 15 players either. And they got to try out a few things. You know, Colin Coughlin wing back, Cathal O'Neill coming on in a few games. So, you know, I think John Kiely will be overall probably satisfied enough. He got some extra game time into players. And, you know, they finished the league strong, which was probably more important.
Yeah, because it was a fed up start to the league, TJ, in many ways. And I think in some ways, one of the more memorable things about the league was just John Kiely in an uncharacteristic way having a pop at the game generally and where it was, the way it was being refereed, the diving from the Galway players, and then he came out a day later and said, "I've had a look back at the incident, it wasn't diving," all very kind of unlike him, and then things settled down a touch.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was all very leaguey, if you could use that word. It was all like with a shadow boxing. And I think one of the things we definitely learned from last weekend is there's no doubt there's a step up when championship arrives from the league, right? And if you look at the three key teams last week, we say Wexford, Dublin and Clare, like they definitely upped the ante in terms of their physical play. Like they were kind of right up their markers ass basically all day. They were ready for the championship, right? And I think Cork people will want to see something different. I think that they'll want to see the challenge really being brought down to Limerick. I think they'll want to see something a little different. I suppose one of the quandaries is could John Kiely bring something a little different? Like Cork are forewarned now on the press and the puck out. Mm. So could we see maybe them backing off? Could they invite the sharp puck out and then maybe close them in the middle of the third? But we're going to have different personnel for Cork now as well. You're going to have probably Seamus Harnedy, you're going to have Dara Fitzgibbon, you're going to have possibly Luke Mead, I think Bill Cooper's back in training. You're going to have a more physical middle third for Cork and a bit more aerial ability too. So I suppose they are the intrigues. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think Limerick are entitled to be favourites. Mm. They finished the league in a way that will definitely have pleased John Kiely. And all the time through the league, he kind of said, look, this is a step, this is a step, this is a step. And you kind of felt like that Everton was geared towards here.
Yes, I think they've plenty of credit in the bank. So that's on the Saturday evening, which should be a great occasion. And then on Sunday, Clare against Tipperary. Clare dishing out a 4-point hammering is the general consensus at the weekend against Waterford. TJ, as a manager here, it was interesting what Brian Lowen was saying after the game. So they were putting it to him like it's a great advantage to get off the mark here and get going and get playing. And Lowen says, yeah, you could look at it both ways. We do have a match under our belt today out in Thurles against good opposition, so we've learned a bit more about our team. Against that, though, the Tip lads are sitting at home. They're watching the game. They're able to do their analysis and pick us apart. So which is it? As manager, would you rather have been sat at home with the Tipperary boys picking them apart or just to get out and play?
I think as a manager on the Clare, Neil, there's nothing like having the championship win under your belt. It's a great feeling. It gives a great kind of a buy-in to the group that we're heading in the right direction. There'll be a big fill-up in training this week. It's hard to underestimate a championship win, especially when they would have been like not seen as fancy to beat Waterford. They were the outsiders. And I think that Brian Lowen deserves an awful lot of credit. I said earlier in the week, I thought tactically he got everything spot on. I thought his use of John Conlon, his use of Shanahan and Tony Kelly inside, I thought all round the pitch, he got the key matchups right. And I think even for him, that confidence, you will see something different against Tipperary. I have no doubt about that. You may not see Tony Kelly at full forward. I think he will bring something different. And I think as a manager, when you know, even for yourself, that what you did really, really worked, it gives him great confidence. And he was under pressure because it's been a kind of a smelly old year in Clare there with some of the ramblings that have been going on. So for him to get a championship win, I think the advantage is with him.
Smelly old year is a good way to put it. I think that's the the technical term for what's been happening down there at the moment. So a few things on Clare then, Ursula, curious for your thoughts. John Conlon, it came as a surprise to him, by the way, as much as anybody, when in his third training session back, they said, how do you fancy playing centre back? And he said to them, I've been practicing my shooting non-stop for the last 3 or 4 months. So he seems to have settled in. And then TJ's point about Tony Kelly as well. So what do you think Clare will do in that department?
Yeah, well, look, in fairness, John Conlon, you know, he was clear of the match on Sunday and he really dictated the terms in the Clare defence. And, you know, it's a testament to the likes of him and Dermot Ryan and Conor Cleary in defence that, you know, Watford only had one of their starting forwards score from play. So that just shows the dominance that Clare had in the back.
Yeah.
You know, and also wanting with the likes of Dermot Ryan and Conlon in the half-back line, these are guys that have played up front and in the forwards before. So they know the type of ball that you like as a forward. So I think there's nearly that intelligence to know we're not just going to hit the ball in and hope for the best. They're looking up. You could see the ball that they delivered into Shanahan when he won the penalty, right in front of him, running into space. And then obviously when you have the likes of Tony and Shanahan inside, you've got two, like, look, Tony is untouchable at times. And again, we saw there on Sunday some of the scores he got. And, you know, the tactic of putting him in the full forward line really, really benefited Clare. Now, look, the question is he going to be there on Sunday? He might feature at some stage, but I think he probably will be maybe a little bit further out the field. But whoever's going to pick him up, you know, there's obviously been question marks with kind of Tip's defence, especially in the league. You know, had they got the pace at the back? We saw in the last round of the league against Watford, when Watford took on the Tip defence, they really, really struggled. So are Clare going to do something similar on Sunday by taking on their players? You know, Tip are very, very strong going forward. But if they're taken on and the opposition have the ball, you know, what are they going to do? Because sometimes they're actually quite lazy in their tackling. And, you know, look at Tony will pop the ball over the bar all day if he's given the chance. So that's definitely going to be a key feature on Sunday again.
Okay. So how do you see that game, Ursula? What way is that going to go?
Well, I actually think the momentum is probably with Clare. You know, they're now, after finishing off the league, winning 3 games, they won last Sunday. The confidence is there now. You know, they got a great victory against Watford. I don't think it's going to be easy. Look at 2 years ago when these teams met, Tipperary trounced them. I think it was 13 points in the end. And, you know, Tip got 3 goals that day. Clare didn't. So Clare will know they have a huge challenge. They're going to have to step it up again. You know, they can't afford to hit 22 wides on Sunday. You know, definitely against Tipperary, they won't be given the opportunity to come back from that if they hit the same amount of wides. But I just think the momentum is with them. I think they'll have gained huge confidence. And maybe we'll even see the likes of David McInerney back in the setup on Sunday as well. So look, I'd slightly tip Clare on Sunday.
What about you, TJ?
I think they have Shane O'Donnell to come back into the setup as well, Ursula, for Sunday, yeah. Which is another big player, another big championship player. I've gone for Tip already. Why? I don't really know. I don't have the stats and the facts to back it up. I just think that I thought the last quarter that Clare should have this game wrapped up. There was 1 or 2 question marks. Waterford were finishing very strong, and there's nearly even a feeling this game went on another 5 minutes. The Waterford might have snuck it off them, but it was impressive from Clare.
Yeah.
That said, what are we expecting the Tipperary team to be? Are we looking at Paddy at fullback, Brendan centre back, Noel McGrath, Shamie Canlan? Like, I know Sheedy already has said that there is age won't be the reason as to why they won't win this year. So he's a smart boy. He knows his players. So the Tipperary team will be interesting to me as to what way he goes. Will there be a little bit of both the youth and the experience? But I suppose the answer to your question is I've gone for Tip.
Yeah.
I think at times in the league, I thought they were impressive. They have a lovely bunch of scoring forwards. They have youth. I'd be expecting 1 or 2 of them to burst onto the scene and we see something from them. And I've just gone for them. They are slight favourites as well with the bookies. And I'm probably coming down to say that they are probably one of the contenders in the chasing pack. I probably have Tip maybe kind of
up there in the chasing pack behind Limerick and Galway at the moment, so I'm going to give Tipton out.
Okay. On Saturday, 8,000 fans at Croke Park, which is just going to be great as well. So Wexford against Kilkenny, yeah. They played in the league. Kilkenny were 10-point winners, Ursula. A repeat of the 2019 Leinster final, which of course was won by Wexford. 2020 was not great for Wexford at all. They lost both their championship matches to Galway and Clare. I think a lot of people said, well, is that Davies' run done here? He's back again. There's no getting rid of him. So where are they? They put 531 on the scoreboard last day out at Nolan Park. 13 different scorers over the 70 minutes. So read into that what you want. But Kilkenny, obviously, an entirely different proposition here. How do you see this?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge challenge and a huge step up from last weekend against Laois. But again, you know, it was impressive and important for Wexford that some of their key players, you know, are going into this weekend feeling good, feeling confident. You know, Rory O'Connor, Conor McDonald in particular. I liked the positioning of McDonald out on the half-forward line because I felt he was more involved in the game. He's probably in the best condition I've ever seen Conor McDonald in terms of his movement, his physicality, and obviously he's a really, really strong ball winner in the air. So that's going to be vital for Wexford, because sometimes maybe we're struggling winning our own puck outs, and you've McDonald maybe sometimes isolated inside, and I'm not sure does that fully suit him at times, because if he's in there on his own, there's more pressure on him to, you know, 1v2 situation, if you know what I mean. So look, at there's the any time Wexford and Kilkenny plays, there's huge rivalry there. You know, you'll have Davey back on the line, no doubt, roaring and shouting at his players. And you know, Wexford probably in the last couple of years and since Davey took over has probably had the slight edge over Kilkenny. You know, going into this year's league, I think they had a 6-game unbeaten run against Kilkenny, which was impressive, but they would have been very disappointed with the league game. But I wouldn't read a whole lot into it, because it was quite a disruptive week leading into that game with the whole COVID cases, and I've no doubt Davey has prepared the guys for this Kilkenny game coming up. But look, at Kilkenny are a different kettle of fish. You know, the likes of Mullen back this year, I think, has really added to the Kilkenny attack. They were very impressive in the league. Yeah. You know, obviously they lost the last game against Clare, but you know, I think Wexford, obviously you have TJ there, and you know, he's the main threat. But now that the fact that he has the likes of Owen Cody and Adrian Mullen to feed off as well, there's not as much pressure maybe as onus on TJ in the attack, and Wexford are going to have to be really, really mindful of that.
Okay. Clock's coming against me here, so I might just skip on to Galway Dublin then, also in the good semi-final, TJ, if we don't mind. Good.
I take Wexford, by the way, or something.
Okay, good. Short and sweet. So look, Dublin are up against it here. Matty Kenny says we're relishing the challenge. Galway have their eyes on an All-Ireland. How equipped are Galway this year, TJ?
I think Galway are in the top two. I think that they have really shown throughout the league and what we've seen so far that they have the ammunition, the physicality, the pace, the power to match Limerick in all areas. They have been impressive. They have to pick and settle on a six forwards. They might have a different finishing team. We were kind of saying during the week that maybe the Port Laois might have suited the Dubs a little bit more, but Dublin's back in Croker, you might be swinging it back towards Galway as well. I've got Galway are sharp price favourites. To me, they are in the top two, and I can't see, even though I was impressed with Dublin the weekend, I can't see Dublin beating Galway this week.
Okay. So it all gets underway this weekend. It's definitely ramping up a notch. Before you go, Limerick and Cork, I never got a strong sense. Are you both going Limerick, or did anyone want to put their hands up and say Cork?
No, I'm tipping Limerick anyway.
Okay.
Good.
You're tipping Limerick, I'm sure, TJ.
I am. I like what I've seen towards the end of the league. I think the lads will have ratcheted it up again. I think they'll be ready for this one. And the prize is big for all teams this weekend now, because provincial final appearance, all automatic quarterfinal. So four big games.
Okay, looking forward to them. TJ Ryan, Ursula Jacob, thanks a million, guys. Appreciate it.
No better.
Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.